Thank you for tuning in to Exploring Magnuson Park on Space 101.1 FM. All opinions expressed on air belong to the show host and our guests and are not necessarily the opinions of Space, the City of Seattle, or any of its elected or appointed officials. Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, and this episode is going to be a little different. You may know that there is a proposal to build dedicated pickleball courts at Magnuson Park, so I wanted to talk to a few interest groups to learn more about the current proposal, how an alternate proposal may alleviate concerns regarding the courts, and the benefit of having pickleball courts at Magnuson Park, regardless of which proposal is accepted. You'll hear from Seattle Metro Pickleball Association, Birds Connect Seattle, and Friends of Magnuson Park as they share their views on bringing pickleball courts to Magnuson Park. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
So much to see, so much to do. Walking up and down my street. How are you? And what do you do? Making friends with the people I meet.
I am speaking with Frank Ciapponi from the Seattle Metro Pickleball Association. Frank, thank you so much for being here.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about pickleball at Magnuson Park.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Before we get into pickleball in Magnuson Park, if you could give our listeners kind of a little bit about your background and what your role is with bringing pickleball to Magnuson Park.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am president of the Seattle Metro Pickleball Association, so involved in all kinds of efforts to bring people to the game of pickleball, grow the sport of pickleball, and help the city understand where their needs are and where they're underserving the pickleball community. So we are a pickleball advocacy group. And then specifically within this Magnuson project, I am a Laurelhurst resident. I don't live far away from here. So this is sort of my pet project within Seattle Metro Pickleball Association. I sit on the chair of the Magnuson Park Pickleball Courts Task Force, and we're helping get the word out, get the community aware of the project, raise funds for the project, all of those things associated with bringing this project to Magnuson Park.
Then with the project itself, what is kind of the history with bringing pickleball to Magnuson Park? When did that start? What has the timeline been? What research has been done? What has all of that looked like?
So let me start with pickleball itself. Pickleball, as you may know, has exploded in the last few years. It is white hot. And it is not slowing down. It's not slowing down nationally, and it's certainly not slowing down here in Seattle. And people want to get out and play. They enjoy the game. The reason why they enjoy the game is because it's fun, it has to do with fitness, and it has to do with friendship. It really brings people together to play this sport of pickleball. There is a severe lack of courts within the Seattle park system. In fact, there's only one dedicated court in all of Seattle, and that is at Laurelhurst Park that was built with private funds there. So Seattle Parks has actually, since 2019, when they launched their first pickleball pilot study, has been exploring places to build dedicated pickleball courts. In that 2019 study, they recognized three things. Pickleball is growing fast. There is a need for long-term strategy for dedicated pickleballs within the park system. And among the places that they looked at and recognized as possible locations, Magnuson Park was first mentioned in 2019 as a possible location for dedicated pickleball courts. Follow that up in 2022, they did another study. This one, they went a little deeper. They hired a consultant. They hired a landscape architect, design architect in D.A. Hogan. They put together not one, but two advisory councils made up of industry experts, pickleball experts, tennis experts, because they wanted to really understand what the need was for the pickleball community and how it affected maybe the tennis community when they did things like dual striping, which is what they've done so far at other courts. They in that study, they came up with 10 possible locations for dedicated pickleball courts, of which Magnuson was part of that, 5 south and 5 north. In 2023, they did feasibility studies at all 10 of those locations, looking exactly as like, can they fit pickleball courts there? What would the impact be? Things like that at a feasibility level. And they decided that of those 10 locations, Georgetown Playfield in the south and Magnuson Park in the north would be the two places to begin building dedicated pickleball courts. And it was at that point that they decided they're going to move forward with the Magnuson project because they had funding for it. And my organization also brought some donations to it, about $1 million to that as well. And with once they did that, they came up with some concept ideas. They hired D.A. Hogan again. They came up with six different concepts for what a pickleball court facility might look like at Magnuson. And then they started doing public comment periods here at Magnuson Park. So that's how we got to Magnuson Park. What they're doing now, starting in 2025, is after taking that feedback from those two Magnuson meetings, they are honing that design and doing environmental impact studies specifically for that E5 parking lot. So that began at the beginning of this year. It won't be done till July. That they've hired people to study the traffic impact, to study the noise impact, to study the impact on trees, the impact on wildlife, the impact on the environment there. They've hired a whole slew of people that with a lot of experience to say, okay, here's what's going to happen if we build 25 pickleball courts at this site. That study will be ready in July. They'll do some more public comment periods for that. And then they will take that and make a recommendation to the city council to amend the park's master plan to include pickleball versus a baseball field, which is already designated to be built there but never been funded. And then the city council will vote on whether to amend the master plan or not. And so it has gone all the way back since 2019 when they started first looking at the growth of pickleball and how they can accommodate the growth of pickleball. Magnuson was mentioned from the very beginning. And just now in the last 2 years have they really honed in on this site and really started digging into what that means in terms of impact for the park.
And some of that impact is from obviously, the courts themselves, how many are going to be there? You mentioned the 25. What other sort of facilities are going to be in this proposed location? Or what does that proposal really look like for Magnuson Park?
So as part of the design, it's a 25-court facility, lighted, with some of the courts covered, and restrooms and wide walking spaces, very small bleachers or sitting areas for people to sit, because pickleball is a very community-oriented thing, so people like to congregate in spaces when they're not playing and laugh and have fun and talk and make friends and then roll on and off the court between games. So all of those amenities were built into the design, but none of those facilities are funded. So we have about $3 million in funding, which would cover some of the basic infrastructure and about 8 to 9 courts unlighted. So that's what's funded right now. But the proposal will be to build out 25 courts, and that's what they're studying on the impact. So eventually, when we raise enough funds, we'll build out courts, more courts with the lights and with the roof and the bathrooms.
And so what would be kind of the time frame for construction to begin, and how long would that last, depending certainly on how many courts are going to be put in, but what does the construction timeline look like?
What's funded today is between 8 and 10 courts, and the process, as I mentioned, won't be the planning process is just beginning in terms of design, and then they need to get that amendment to the master plan from City Council. Once that is done, then City Parks, they have a very regimented process that they go through to build these capital projects like this. And so they're like at 30% right now. So they're early on. So once they get that approval, they'll move to 60% and then 90%. And all of that involves finding contract work, hiring, doing the contract stuff, finding the people to do it, and then eventually breaking ground. So the initial plan right now and it is for 2026, breaking ground in 2026 and finishing the construction in 2026 of those initial funded courts. I would be surprised if they hit that timeline, but one can always hope that they do that. So I would say sometime in 2026 they'll start, and then they would finish probably late 26 or early 27.
All right. Well, with bringing the courts to Magnuson Park, you've mentioned all of that research that went into designating Magnuson Park as one of those locations, especially on the north end. What is it about Magnuson Park that makes such a good location for these pickleball courts?
Well, I'll just say, first of all, that Magnuson Park is a magnificent park. Mm-hmm. It's 350 acres. And within this 350 acres, all manner of activities happen here, right? They have football, lacrosse, basketball, soccer, dog walking, playgrounds for kids, tennis, beer drinking, mountain climbing, boating, biking, running, bird watching, kite flying, beachcombing, all manner of activities happen here at Magnuson. And there's plenty of room for these pickleball courts. And so it would fit right in with the grand plan of Magnuson Park to bring such a great community activity and recreation to this sport. And it would fit in with all the other things that happen here. If you want to know why we ended up at E5 on that south end of the wetlands, because I know that people are asking why this parking lot, why not mm-hmm. north? Well, as part of the process that SPR has gone through, and they have really done their homework here, they've looked and we've looked with them at a few different locations. There are some old tennis courts to the north and east of the wetlands. But that area right there, first of all, is part of the Magnuson Master Plan, has been designated for natural habitat. So the plan there is to demolish those tennis courts. But if we were to decide to put the pickleball courts there, those courts are sinking into the wetlands because the substructure there isn't very firm. So if you built courts there, they would eventually just sink into the, just like those. You see all the cracks there now from what's there now. You would eventually see the same thing. It's been suggested to go north to where Arena Sports is today. There's a huge parking lot there. And while that parking lot is big enough, there's another smaller parking lot to the west of that. That one is not large enough to host many pickleball courts. But even that substructure there, besides being used for Arena Sports and the boat launch there, is also not very firm, and it is also sinking into the... So if you were to build the pickleball courts there, they would eventually start to crack and sink as well. That E5 parking lot on the south end of the wetlands there, number one, that area is already designated by the master plan to be active recreation for a ball field that was never funded. It's been 19 years, and it's never been funded to have a ball field there. So it's already designated for active recreation. That parking lot sits on a slab of the old Navy runway that was there many, many years ago. And so if you were to layer on top of that pickleball courts, on top of that parking lot, which sits on top of that runway, that ain't going anywhere. So that is a great foundation to build on. It's the most efficient and economical place to build it. You're only using about half of that parking lot for 25 pickleball courts, because 25 pickleball courts is not the same as 25 tennis courts. It's not a lot of space. And it's sound structurally. So from a cost efficiency, from using the space as it was intended for in the master plan as a recreation space, all of those reasons are why that E5 parking lot was chosen as the site for the pickleball courts.
So it's determined that Magnuson Park is a good location for these pickleball courts. How does it benefit Magnuson Park and the community, not just being able to play pickleball, right? Yeah. Having these courts, like you said, there's not many around. What other ways is this going to benefit the community and bring in the community to Magnuson Park?
Yeah, so first of all, as I mentioned, this parking lot has been designated for active recreation since 2006 and has never been funded. Right now, it's currently being used by a private business for a park and ride. So it's bringing every day it just brings all kinds of vehicles into the parking lot. So developing this patch of land into something that can be used for more active recreation is a great benefit to the community and to the park, to elevate the park beyond what it's being used for right now. In fact, I would argue that the park should be used for active recreation and not for a park and ride for a private business. So that's the first thing, is it would develop with some public funds and a lot of private funds, right? So that's the benefit overall to Magnuson Park. Just creating a more usable space in a space that right now currently has a parking lot, a pile of wood chips, and that Magnuson Park is using for their storage area or their work site for the park. So it would beautify that area. It would help develop that area. It'd help curb unwanted behavior in that area, and it would give people a space for community to come together, to be more fit, to make more friends, and to have some more fun. From a pickleball perspective, it will provide desperately needed courts for this rapidly growing sport where the entire community can come in and enjoy this great game.
All right. Well, you've mentioned some of that impact and certainly some of the studies that are being done environmentally with noise concerns. Is there anything in the proposal right now that addresses any of that, or is this a wait and see what the studies show for those impacts?
All I can tell you, I haven't seen where the designs, other than what everybody else has seen, which is those concepts. But I have heard D.A. Hogan, I have heard Seattle Parks in those public meetings say that some of those noise concerns will be addressed. I know at Laurelhurst Park, we've put up acoustic fencing up there to keep it more quiet there. Same at Miller Park, they've put acoustic fencing up to dampen the noise and contain it to within the court. So there's definitely plans and there's definitely ideas. Having a roof will help not only mitigate the light pollution, but the noise pollution as well there. So in speaking with Seattle Parks and in speaking with D.A. Hogan, I know that there are line items in the plan. I don't know exactly what to address some of the noise concerns, but let me address the noise concerns overall about pickleball. First of all, I think pickleball gets a bad rap for noise. studies show that pickleball is no noisier than any other recreation sports at about 70 decibels. So that's baseball, that's football, volleyball, traffic is all around that 70 decibels. There have been some published news reports that pickleball generates noise as loud as 120 decibels, and I want to debunk that. 120 decibels is about the sound of a jet engine taking off. So I challenge anybody to show me where hitting a plastic ball on a carbon paddle or laughing is going to get up to 120 decibels. So I think it's in line in terms of noise level with what's already occurring in the park in terms of traffic and recreation, right? I will say this. Pickleball has a distinct sound that other sports does not have. And I think that's why it gets a bad rap, is because it has that distinct ping of the pickleball. But it's not any louder than any other sport.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you for that information. And as we're talking about the pickleball courts, you know, there's been a lot of information shared, a lot of information that has gone into this. How do folks find out more? We only have a set amount of time here on this episode. If they want to learn more, is there a website, a newsletter? How do they find out more about all of this?
So they can go to seattlemetropickleball.com and look at our Magnuson Park courts page. Our Magnuson Park project page is there. And we talk about why Magnuson, how we got to this point. There's a FAQ, and it points to some resources from Seattle Parks and Recreation as well, like that 2019 study, the 2022 study, things like that. The other thing they can do is follow us on Facebook at Seattle Metro Pickleball, and we'll keep you posted on what's happening there with the pickleball project. Once you go to our website, you can also email your council member to show support for the project if you wanted to do that. And you could also donate funds for the project as well.
All right. So some ways to get involved with bringing pickleball to Magnuson Park. Outside of donating and contacting local representatives, are there activities, events, petitions, volunteer opportunities, any other way that folks can get involved?
The key way to get involved is to go to our website and email your city council member and let them know that you support the pickleball project. We will have some events. One of our events every year in the downtown streets of Seattle is called Pickleball for All, and we work with the Seattle Parks Foundation, and we actually lay down portable pickleball courts downtown. So that event will be September 5th. And 6th and 7th, I believe are the dates, somewhere right around there. And it's free to play. So you can come down to the Amazon Spheres, our pickleball courts will be on the street. You can come down and play pickleball in that summer, in that summertime. We'll have other events in the summertime. That's the one that we, that's the big one at the end of the summer that we're planning. And of course, we will start fundraising. Obviously, we have to wait to hear the results of the master plan amendment, but we will be doing some fundraising later on. But just, they could join SMPA. They can get out and play pickleball. They could contact their Seattle city council person, and they can, and that's how they can support pickleball in the community.
All right. Well, as we're wrapping up here, are there any final thoughts, any calls to action, anything like that that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Simply that pickleball is an amazing sport and recreation. I hear this all the time, and I'll tell you that it changed my life. In the way that it has grown my circle of friends, I've been able to travel the world now because of pickleball and go to places where I went to Guatemala last year to run the very first tournament there. That never would have happened in my life if I didn't have pickleball. I get invited to parties, which shocks my wife. It's just amazing the pickleball community. And I think the biggest takeaway here is pickleball is just such a wonderful thing for the community. Magnuson Park is already amazing in what it does, and I think it's just a perfect marriage of the two. Pickleball at Magnuson Park, I really can't think of anything better.
All right. Well, Frank, thank you so much for your time and for sharing all of this with our listeners.
Again, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you allowing me to share my opinion and my voice.
My guests now are Josh Morris and Ruth Fruland. Josh and Ruth, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, before we get into the proposal for the pickleball courts, if you could each kind of give a brief intro for our listeners, what your background is and what your role is in saving the wetlands or looking at alternate proposals for these pickleball courts.
Sure, I can start. I'm Joshua Morris. I'm the conservation director at Birds Connect Seattle. We are a local nonprofit environmental conservation organization with a focus on conserving birds and urban nature. My background is in environmental policy and quantitative ecology, and I've been involved in protecting and enhancing habitat quality in Seattle parks for the last 6 years, including our successful effort to protect habitat at Lincoln Park from a similar proposal to build pickleball in 2023.
I'm the president of Friends of Magnuson Park, and we're the ones that have oversight on the historic district. And we promote education and preservation, but we also, it's very important to us that these buildings get used. It's only their exterior which cannot be changed. The interiors can be whatever we imagine them to be. And right now I'm imagining pickleball.
All right. Well, since we're talking about the pickleball court proposal, one of the issues that has come up is the wetlands, the impact this is going to have with the wetlands. So, Josh, could you give us kind of a history of the Magnuson Park wetlands, how they came to be in Magnuson Park?
Going back, way back, so prior to settler colonialism, the area where the wetlands are were also formerly a wetland. There was a lake there called Mud Lake. And then when the area was developed, it was turned into a Navy base by the U.S. military. The wetlands at Mud Lake were filled, and the earth was compacted, and the site became a largely a naval airstrip. When that naval base was decommissioned in the mid-1900s, a lot of that paving was removed, and plans for additional recreation and habitat were discussed. And in the 2000s, the design concept for the current restored wetlands at Magnuson Park started coming into focus, along with a lot of the athletic fields that are also now part of Magnuson Park. The area after the naval base was decommissioned was sort of a swampy but low-quality wetland habitat, and the creation of the athletic fields required removing some of that wetland habitat. And so partially, the wetlands came to be as required mitigation for filling in some of that wetland for the creation of the athletic fields. But there was also an intention to create a lot more habitat to enhance the quality of wetland habitat at Magnuson Park, in addition to what was required for mitigation. And along with that, too, was the intention to create access to wetland habitat and urban nature at Magnuson Park. Because if you've ever visited, the trails are wide, they're flat, they're crushed gravel, and accessible to people of a lot of different abilities. So they are ADA compliant and intentionally provide good access to urban nature.
And so why are the wetlands important? What is their benefit to Magnuson Park and the area?
I mean, wetlands are extremely important hydrologically. They drain, filter rainwater, and also in doing that provide a lot of other ecosystem services and provide habitat for over 100 species now at the wetlands. And you know, in the 15 years since they've grown up, we've seen 80 bird species there, 15 of which are documented nesting. There are 20 dragonfly species that have been observed there. Pacific tree frogs are nesting there, and several other species of native amphibian. So they really are an important urban habitat. It's the third largest freshwater wetland complex left in Seattle. So wetlands have been lost extensively across the U.S. and in Seattle as well. So it is a big ecological asset to the city.
So then how would the proposed pickleball courts impact the wetlands? And then, Ruth, to you, how would this kind of impact Magnuson Park as a whole?
Well, so one of the big things that we are concerned about is noise. Pickleball is a really noisy sport, and there are now some peer-reviewed studies that document 8 courts in play generating sustained sound at the same level of freeway traffic measured 100 feet away from the court. So this is not a trivial amount of sound that we're talking about. And the proposed pickleball courts the full build-out would be 25 courts. So that's a lot of potential noise. And noise is a known environmental pollutant. It has a lot of negative impacts on humans, as well as a wide range of other species. And some of the effects can just be increased stress hormones and stress response. When we think about nesting time like it is now here in spring, human-associated noise can increase vigilance behaviors in birds that distract them from nesting and potentially increase the risk of predation and nest failure. It also just diminishes the quality of nature experience, which is a really important aspect of urban nature access. We all need opportunities to escape from urban stressors and the noise of the urban environment. And intentionally placing a noisy facility next to habitat like this, where we go to find and connect with nature, really doesn't make any sense. And a lot of the sound characteristics of pickleball play are similar to firecrackers. So imagine lighting off a lot of firecrackers right next to this important ecological asset.
And from our perspective, the Friends of Magnuson Park, our name says it all. We are not just about the historic district. We care about the park as a whole and serving as many people and as many needs as possible, including the folk that live in Magnuson Park. One of the things the pickleball people say is that, well, you know, anyone, this is for everyone. Well, I would like to make sure if this is built that we have the residents who live in the park have access to these facilities wherever they may be. The other issue I have, so one is mainly maintaining this as a park, not a sports center. And the fear is that this large of a build out will dominate and it will pose problems with parking and certainly other people that use the park in more passive ways, although, you know, cyclists and hikers and runners, and there are all sorts of events that go on that are not geared to, say, net sports. But the other thing is there is an alternative, and it. I guess my issue is that there's a process that was really not followed. There is on-site for Magnuson Park, as for most of the parks, a advisory committee no one on the advisory committee was included or in the selection or this project. And so nor were any of the other people who use the park, the other stakeholders. So the issue is partly we were blindsided, and it doesn't feel very fair to have one group basically dominate this process of selecting this for a pickleball center. This park is a pickleball center. So that's my concern, and I don't want the overall park environment to change dramatically because of one sport that comes in and takes it over. And as I will get to, there's a real easy way to solve this problem.
Well, you've mentioned the potential for alternate proposals. Are there alternate proposals that you, Ruth, and you, Josh, would like Seattle Parks and Recreation to look into outside of what's already been proposed?
Well, yes. It just so happens that the historic district includes a double hangar. It's Building 2. It's one of the oldest hangars, buildings on the campus, and it is probably the largest publicly owned building on the West Coast. It's huge, and it can be, you can go around it if you come into the main entrance of the park and you turn left onto 63rd Avenue Northeast, and then the second block or the largest block, if you keep going, is all entirely taken up by Building 2. That gives you an idea of how big it is. So we have a vision. Friends has a vision for pickleball at Magnuson Park, and it is a full 25-court center for pickleball, and it's all inside, and it's all play all year round. So that alone ought to be enticing. Unfortunately, it comes with a large price tag of $30 to $40 million. But I don't think that that is something that should be a deterrent, at least not until it's well studied and thought out. Who says that money has to be raised all at once and paid for all at once? Who says we can't do it in a phased program where you start at one point and renovating and remodeling, and then when that's done, you can move to continuing to enlarge the area inside of Building 2. They're doing a phased approach where they're planning it now in the parking lot. So it's like it's the same thing. So I think that that's an important thing to consider. And I'd like to have the pickleball people have a big vision for what they want to do at Magnuson Park. And I think this is a really good opportunity to work with us at the other stakeholders at Magnuson Park and make this a win-win for everyone.
And Josh, were there alternate proposals that you would like the parks to consider, or is this indoor facility one that's kind of the main focus for Friends of Magnuson Park and Birds Connect Seattle?
Yeah, we're really happy to support the proposal by Friends of Magnuson Park. And as Ruth has said to me on several occasions, that when you consider renovating Building 2 into a net sports facility, you solve every problem that we're raising. One, you achieve historic preservation. Two, you get to increase the supply of pickleball courts and make that available year-round because it would be indoor. And three, you do a better job protecting the environment and protecting sensitive wetland habitat by containing the noise and light and concentrated human activity inside the building. So it really is a win-win-win, and would love to see the Parks Department and others really take that proposal seriously. And I think it's important to say too that we're not fighting pickleball. We're fighting poor urban design and planning. The city of Seattle invested more than $3 million of taxpayer money to build those wetlands, plus additional public funds from King County grants and other public sources. So this is a massive investment in wetland habitat and urban nature access, and it really is something that we have a responsibility to protect. And so it was frustrating that the environmental community, other park users, and the neighbors near the wetlands were not included in the initial site planning selection discussions.
So you have this alternate proposal. What is currently being done to get parks to consider it? What sort of advocacy is Friends of Magnuson Park and Birds Connect Seattle doing to push forward this alternate proposal? And what advocacy is also being done kind of around protecting and bringing awareness to the restored wetlands?
We have a petition that's live. If you were to search or Google Birds Connect Seattle Magnuson Park Wetlands, one of the first results would be our webpage with information about our advocacy here. Already more than 1,700 people have signed our petition, along with 14 other organizations, asking them to halt planning and construction of this pickleball development project. Importantly, though, making this project a reality will require an amendment to Magnuson Park's master plan, and that will require approval by the City Council. So this project cannot go forward if the City Council does not approve it. So we are working hard to educate our council members and to show them how special the wetlands are. We're meeting walks with council members in the wetlands this spring, just to show them that it would really not be a good outcome to degrade the investment in habitat that we have, that we've made at Magnuson Park. We're also inviting members of the public to walk in the wetland, and I'll have a walk coming up on May 1st at 5:30 p.m. if anybody wants to join me, just to show people how special the wetlands are. There's a lot of nesting birds out there. Last time we were out, we saw high-billed grebes building their nests. We saw an Anna's hummingbird in a nest with some chicks. So it really is a special place and a great time of year to go see the wetlands. We are also encouraging people to contact their City Council members. We have template language on our website that folks can use. We're organizing verbal public comment at council meetings and Board of Parks and Recreation Commission meetings. More information, too, about that on our website. So there's a lot of different ways to get involved, and that's really important. I encourage people to learn more about this on our website and to reach out to me, too, directly if you're interested in getting involved.
And in addition to supporting Birds Connect and their efforts, we're looking into exactly, Friends is looking into exactly what would be entailed with a phased approach to renovation for Building 2. And also, Arena Sports is a really good example of what a renovated hangar could do for a sports activity. Of course, their specialty is soccer, but they are open to the public, and I invite anyone who's interested in what a pickleball indoor facility might look like, go and look at what the soccer facility looks like and then just visualize pickleball there. And I think you would be excited about the potential for that.
So we've talked about or heard about the ways that folks can get involved. Going to the Birds Connect Seattle website. Josh, can you remind our listeners what that website is?
Yeah, birdsconnectsea.org. And then if you want to specifically find the Magnuson Park information, it's birdsconnectsea.org/Magnuson-park-wetlands.
Okay. And so you have the website, the petition, contacting city leaders. What about volunteer opportunities? Is there a way to donate to the cause? How else might people advocate for Magnuson Park and for the wetlands?
One big thing that we need is just sharing the word. If Magnuson Park and the wetlands are special to you, visit the wetland, take a photo, share on social media, share a link to our petition, invite your friends and family to sign the petition, organize your group to go visit the wetlands. I'll join you if it works out. I'll bring a spotting scope. We can look for birds together. But sharing the word and making this issue more visible, and also just pestering our elected officials. We have to make this an issue that raises to their consciousness. They've got a lot going on in their jobs, and this is something that they're not going to take seriously unless a lot of their constituents are reaching out to them. Already, we have had Seattle residents send more than 1,000 emails to our city council, and that is not enough. So please do visit our website, go to the wetlands, send an email, sign our petition, share with your friends and family.
The sources that I would add about the historic district is simply to do online searches for Friends of Magnuson Park, which will get you to the historic district information. You can also search online for redevelopment and renovation of Building 2 because they have sent out requests for proposals in the past around 2016-2017, and that's useful information. And then, of course, you can look up Arena Sports online as well to see what its facilities look like and all the leagues and different activities that they do there. So that will give you more of a context of what we're talking about.
Well, as we're wrapping up here, are there any final thoughts, any final comments that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, on my part, this is a perfect example. I'm going back to talking about how you would fund a big project like that. There are people in this state who are actively promoting a state public bank. And what a state public bank would be able to do is give a low-interest loan for, say, $30, $40 million. And the beauty of this, it's low interest. You don't have to go through private financing, which is our bonds. But this approach would actually put more money in because the interest that is paid would go back into the public bank. And the other thing that it does, but all banks do this, they generate new money. 95% of our money supply is generated by loans from banks. Doesn't matter whether they're public or private. When a loan is taken out, the bank simply adds that to its ledger, and that money is handed over to whoever has obtained the loan, and then they spend money in the local economy. In this case, think of all of the jobs that would be generated. Think of it not as a cost that, oh my gosh, we're going to get the money. Think of it as an investment in people having work to do, and then for the future of pickleball in our great city. So if you are interested in the idea of a public bank, the state of North Dakota has had a public bank since 1919. You can go on their website, and then you can go on the website of Washingtonians for Public Banking to learn more about that as a really good example of how you would fund something that is this expensive.
Thanks. And I'll just add to that we can't take our parks, habitat, green spaces, our urban nature for granted. It is under a lot of stress from a lot of sources. And you know, there's a lot of well-intentioned folks who are managing and making decisions about our parks and other public lands. But the failure to include important stakeholders in early decision-making process was a fault. And in our advocacy, we really want to emphasize that this type of conflict can be avoided. And it's really a poor use of our outrage and our resources right now. There's so many other things going on in the world that I would rather be advocating for. And so one big outcome that we're also hoping to is that environmentalists and other community stakeholders get an earlier seat at the table so that we don't have to keep fighting these fights.
Ruth and Josh, thank you so much for sharing that information with our listeners. Really appreciate all of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. I spoke with folks from Seattle Metro Pickleball Association, Birds Connect Seattle, and Friends of Magnuson Park about the proposal to build dedicated pickleball courts in Magnuson Park. To learn more about the proposal, visit seattlemetropickleball.com and seattle.gov/parks. For information on how the proposed site for the pickleball courts could impact the Magnuson Park wetlands, along with a proposal for an alternative site, visit birdsconnectsea.org. Before I go, I would like to say a special thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, are looking for a schedule of our programs, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. Stay with us for some amazing programs coming up this afternoon, and don't forget to tune in again next Thursday at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. On my next episode, I'll be sharing events coming to the park in May and June. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, broadcasting from Space 101.1 FM, the coolest radio station in the galaxy. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you at Magnuson Park. Walking in-